the first time my husband and I ever got into a real fight in our marriage, it was about a month after our wedding. Our fight was about food. My husband, Kareem, immigrated from Egypt with his family when he was 19 years old, and he grew up eating stuffed grape leaves, koshery, and ful and shawarma. I am a girl raised in the South. I was born and raised in Columbia, South Carolina, and grew up eating pimento cheese, fried okra, biscuits, and gravy. So shortly after we got married, I wanted to make Kareem macaroni bechamel. Macaroni bechamel is Egypt's national dish. Macaroni bechamel is to Egyptians what steamed crabs are to those of us in Maryland. Like, this is what people eat for every holiday, birthday, special occasion. It's a casserole with a layer of pasta at the bottom, ground beef and veggies in the middle, and a really rich, decadent bechamel sauce on top. In doing my research, I learned that in ancient times, Egyptian women were judged on how good of a wife they would be based on how their macaroni bechamel tasted. So I was up to the challenge. At this point, like, in my life, I was a pretty decent cook. I felt comfortable improvising in the kitchen, and I had made macaroni and cheese millions of times. So I thought, how different could it really be? I was looking up recipes on the internet, and it looked like I had everything in our pantry to make the casserole. A pound of penne pasta, 2 pounds of ground beef, an onion, some diced tomatoes, spices, nutmeg, cinnamon. But what kind of threw me off was the amount of milk the recipes called for the cream sauce. The recipes I kept seeing over and over again called for 8 cups of milk. 8 cups of milk is like a half a gallon of milk. And at the time, there were just 2 of us in our house. So I thought, this is a dish for 2 people. That has to be a mistake. There's no way I'm putting 8 cups of milk into 1 casserole. So I improvised. I boiled the pasta. I sauteed the meat, added the veggies and the spices. But when it came time to make the bechamel sauce, I melted the butter, whisked in the flour, and just eyeballed the amount of milk. It wasn't 8 cups, maybe more like 2 or 3. Put the casserole away. We went to work, commuted home. We're ready for a really good dinner. It didn't help that our entire commute home in DC traffic, I was really talking up this dish. You're gonna be so proud of me. I'm gonna make your mom so proud. So we made it home. I took the casserole out of the refrigerator, put it in the oven, 40 minutes at 400 degrees. But when I took the casserole out, it really didn't look like my mother-in-law's casserole. Usually it's bubbling and rich. You can see the butter rising to the top, but the bechamel sauce on my casserole looked like a layer of Elmer's glue. And it was crusty, not in a good way. So, anyways, we sat down. It was a weeknight. I thought this was a pretty impressive dinner, frankly. We sat down. I dished out a scoop for me and for Kareem. I told him, Belhana wal shefa habibi in Arabic. That means, enjoy your dinner, my beloved. And we started to eat. So I asked him, what do you think? And I really should have braced myself for the response because it wasn't good. He told me, Amanda, well, first of all, the meat is flavorless, the sauce is clunky, and the entire casserole is burnt. Well, can you say anything nice about it? I asked him. Not really. This is my cultural dish, and for me to feel like home, this needs to be perfect. So with that, I took my supper, I walked down the stairs to the basement of our townhouse, and ate dinner by myself. This was the first time in our marriage where I really questioned if we could integrate our traditions and our culture and our history into the family that we were building together. I vowed to never make macaroni bechamel again, and I didn't, at least for a few years, but we did learn how to eat together, and we learned how to make a life together. That Thanksgiving, Kareem came with me to my grandparents' farm in South Carolina, and he fell in love with his other new favorite dish, sweet potato casserole. Of course, it was loaded with evaporated milk and lots of butter, and topped with marshmallows and pecans. But he fell in love with it. And then after our daughter Dolly was born, during the height of COVID, we traveled to Detroit and had a really nice dinner with his aunt and uncle. They set up a tent outdoors when we were all so scared to eat inside together. And we had roasted chicken and this lovely dish called kishk. It's this savory Egyptian dish topped with homemade fried onions. And it was really special, not just because of the food, but because of the fact we were finally introducing our daughter to family during such a hard time, I think, in our collective history. I always thought that keeping culture meant freezing culture, preserving it, never letting it change. And I thought to be a good wife, I needed to have a kitchen that looked exactly like my mother-in-law's kitchen, indistinguishable from any other kitchen in Cairo. But by building a family together and building a life together, I've learned that keeping culture is as much about negotiating and sharing and blending and merging as it is about anything else. Sometimes you make mistakes, and sometimes you even burn the macaroni bechamel. Thank you.